Okay, so we here at the Bryant Park Project are not going to be the first to use the R word, recession. But let's face it, with the mortgage crisis, a sluggish stock market, sagging US dollar, these are not the rosiest of economic times. And that has some people dipping into their retirement savings, 401ks to be exact, which have pretty much replaced pensions as the retirement instrument of choice in the US. A couple of retirement fund managers are reporting double-digit increases in loans and early withdrawals from 401k accounts over the past year. But is borrowing from your future the best way to get through economic tough times today? Joining us now to talk about those consequences is Jonathan Clements. He's a personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Rachel. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for being on. Hey, Jonathan, how many people are actually doing this, tapping into their 401ks?
We don't really know for sure. I mean, historically, something like 18% of 401k participants borrow against their loan balances. Meanwhile, hardship withdrawals, the other way that you can get at your 401k money, among those who are under age 60, it's typically only 1% or 2%. But there's anecdotal evidence that we've seen a spike in both these areas. For instance, one of my sources is telling me that we've seen a big increase in hardship withdrawals in places like California and Michigan, where, of course, you know, that's, you know, ground zero for the subprime mortgage crisis.
What do you have to prove in order to get a hardship withdrawal?
With a hardship withdrawal, the IRS has various sort of criteria. You know, you need to have high medical expenses. You need to be facing foreclosure. Maybe you're buying a home. But even if you meet those criteria, you then have to look at the rules for your particular plan, because the plan may not allow hardship withdrawals, and they may have a slightly different set of rules. But what people should understand about hardship withdrawals is the real hardship is the price you're going to pay. Because if you go in and you tap that 401k, you take money out, you're going to get hit with income taxes. You're probably going to get hit with some sort of tax penalty, and you'll get hit with state income taxes. Say you're in the 25% income tax bracket, you pull a dollar out of your 401k for a hardship withdrawal, you maybe end up giving 40 cents out of that dollar back to the tax man.
Wow. So maybe not worth it in the long run. These 401ks were originally designed as a way to encourage people to invest in their own retirement, to take ownership of that process. Were there conversations at the time? Did anyone ever expect that this would happen, that people would take advantage of them in this way, this frequently?
Well, actually, one of the interesting things about the way 401k plans were designed was the notion was that if you give people this sense that they have access to the money, that maybe they would be more likely to contribute. So, you know, loan features where, you know, you can go and you can borrow up to $50,000 from your 401k, that sort of loan feature is attractive. People say, I don't want to put my money in the 401k. You know, the employer will say, well, but you could always borrow the money. And they'll say, okay, I'll put money in. And the hope, of course, was that people wouldn't use that loan feature. Well, guess what? They are. And the problem is, you know, when you borrow from the 401k, you have to pay that money back with interest.
Yeah.
People say, well, that's attractive. But the problem is the money has come out of that 401k, which means that it's not earning investment gains, so you're going to end up with less money at retirement. Moreover, if you leave your employer, say you go and get another job, that 401k loan becomes immediately payable. And if you can't come up with the cash, then the money is considered to have been distributed, and you'll pay income taxes and tax penalties.
Is there any evidence that people take the money out and maybe in a couple weeks, maybe they just need a short-term fix, that they are then repaying it and replenishing the 401ks?
You know, it's hard to know how this sort of plays out, but normally these loans are not set up as short-term loans. Typically, there's some sort of fixed repayment schedule. You know, you're paying back over, say, a five-year period. So these are not designed to be short-term fixes, and the plan administrators are not really going to allow you to do that sort of thing.
Considering the current state of the economy, Jonathan, is this kind of understandable, or is there something particular about American culture that doesn't encourage long-term planning?
Well, I think there are a couple of different things going on. I mean, one is, I think generally, you know, we find it very difficult to think long term. I mean, you know, it all goes back to evolutionary psychology. You know, our cavemen and cavewomen, you know, great 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 grandparents, you know, they were just thinking about getting through tomorrow. They weren't worried about retiring in 40 years. You know, in terms of the way we think, we're just not built to think long term. But also, because of the long prosperity that we've enjoyed here in the States, I mean, let's face it, it's been a lot of years since the Great Depression, you know, people have become very comfortable taking financial risk. We saw that in the early part of this decade. People were happily borrowing against the value of their home. We saw ballooning amounts of home equity lines of credit. People took money out of their home and spent it on other stuff. that, of course, has been tapped out. So people looking around and saying, okay, can't tap my home anymore, so what am I going to tap next? Well, just about the only game left in town is the 401k, and now people seem to be turning to that.
Let's talk about that. The shift away from pensions over the past 30 years, 401ks seem to be the instrument of choice. Has that, on balance, been a good thing for workers?
I would argue that it hasn't. I mean, you know, being in favor of sort of corporate paternalism is probably not a popular stance to make, but the reality is people do not seem to be very savvy about managing their 401k plans. In fact, if you go back to the 1990s, the sort of model for 401k plans was you give people a lot of investment choices, you give them some educational materials, and they'll make good choices. Well, guess what? They didn't.
We don't. Oh, no.
So now we're actually heading in the other direction, and people are saying, okay, let's cut down the number of choices we give in 401k plans. Maybe we'll bring in more advice. Maybe we'll instead just offer this limited selection of what are called target retirement funds, which essentially give you one-stop investment shopping. The notion now is let's limit the choice that people can make. Let's guide their choices and hope they're smarter about the way they use these plans.
So let's get back to this phenomenon right now that's affecting us. The current economic crunch has people dipping into these 401k plans. We've already defined the fact that this is not a good idea, stealing from your future, long-term implications. What should people be doing instead if they say, listen, I can't think about the future right now because I can't pay my mortgage?
Well, clearly, you know, if you don't have any other choice, well, you don't have any other choice. But if you have some sort of other option, you really should look at it. I mean, one of the traps I think a lot of people get into is they look at the size of their paycheck and they say, all right, what can I cover out of this paycheck? And so they start taking on all these monthly obligations. They take on the big mortgage. They take on the car lease. You know, they get the expensive cable package. They got the cell phone. They got the satellite radio. All of these monthly obligations, and suddenly they have very little financial leeway. So one of the things I would think about doing if you're finding that you're strapped for cash every month is to go back and look at those monthly obligations and see if you can give yourself a little bit more financial breathing room by either reducing or getting rid of some of these monthly obligations.
Change your lifestyle a little bit, sounds like. Might have to ditch that cable.
Yeah, and the satellite radio. You don't want them having that anyway.
No,
we're on satellite radio.
We love satellite radio. Bite your tongue.
Jonathan Clemens, personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Hey, thanks, Jonathan. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.